Welcome to Everyday Relationships from Focus on the Family with Dr. Greg Smalley and Susie Larson.
Welcome to today's show. We are thrilled that you have joined us. We are here every day to help you live out God's greatest commandment, to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love others as you love yourself. I'm Dr. Greg Smalley, joined by author and speaker Susie Larson. Hey, today we're focusing on the results of a very interesting one-year experiment. And the experiment was in wifely submission. So, Susie, obviously, you know, this was what I was doing.
Wifely submission?
Making Aaron. No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
And how did that go?
Well, my fingers have started to heal up, so I can bend
the
them now.
Swelling's down, I noticed.
Mainly, yeah. For the most part. No, you know, seriously, our guest today, she is a very independent and strong military wife and mother. I really wondered if a woman could really live a happy life while choosing to submit to her husband as the Bible commands. So she decided to do her own personal experiment by living in marital submission as a wife and helper for 1 year. I feel like we should have that dun, dun, dun. Mm-hmm. So today we're going to hear about how that went and really what she learned. What do you think, Susie, about that kind of an experiment?
Well, I'm so interested. Well, I've enjoyed reading her book, and I'm excited to have her on the show because this is going to be, I think, an eye-opening conversation, because already I'm sure hackles are up for some and others are going, well, finally we're talking about this thing, because there's such different.
Those are the guys.
Exactly. But there are such differing opinions about what submission looks like. And I think some women get into a wrong view of submission, and there is an inequity in the relationship that's not even healthy, and they think they're doing God's work. And so I'm excited to hear Sarah's perspective. So let's just introduce her, should we?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Sarah Horn is the founder of Wives of Faith, which is a ministry for military wives. She herself is a military wife, mom, speaker, and writer. Her latest book is called My So-Called Life as a Submissive Wife. What a catchy title.
And say that 10 times.
Yes, and we're so glad to have you on Everyday Relationships, Sarah. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be with y'all.
Well, I love this idea. So you conducted this one-year-long experiment. So is that to assume then now you're done?
No.
I finished that. Yeah. No more submission.
Than most women.
Right. You know, I call it an experiment because for me, it's a little less threatening when you start out with something like this. You
can quit an experiment.
And you can fail too.
You could, yes, you could. But it's so much of, I really wanted to examine and almost kind of observe and as I'm going through this and what this looks like for women today. I didn't want to live out some kind of stereotype, which there are so many out there when it comes to this word of what we think it is.
Yeah.
I really wanted to just pull
baggage.
Oh, it's
like
huge.
Like no other word.
Huge.
Probably.
You know, you say the word submit and people think it's a four-letter word instead
it's
of a six.
Like the cat hair.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so I call it an experiment because that was a way for me to kind of just ease into this and look at it. Examine it, maybe take out some of the emotion of it and just really see, okay, Lord, what do you mean by having this in your word? Because I respect God's word. It's the authority of my life. And yet so often I ignored these passages that have to
you
do
cut
with
it out. It's not there. I don't
right.
see it.
Or you know, maybe that's just an old fashioned idea. And yet it's mentioned in the Bible. So there's got to be something to it. So I wanted to explore that.
So was there a particular story? Was there a particular experience that this sort of experiment kind of was born out of
well,
in your life?
Well, this really came out of another experiment that I did, which I took on the Proverbs 31 wife and lived that out for.
What's left? She's done.
Yeah.
Well, I lived that out for a year, and I learned so much from that, and the impact that I have as a wife and mom, which I really had not thought about or seen before. And so this was kind of a natural progression. It was like, okay, I've tackled the Proverbs 31 wife, where I've learned that it's not about the to-do list, it's about the heart. Mm. And submission is definitely a change of heart, I think, for a lot of women. And so it was kind of,
were there battles? I mean, were there certain ways that, you know, that things that were going on inside their relationship?
Yeah, my husband and I will be married 16 years this summer. And
congratulations.
Thank you. And we've had a wonderful marriage, a good marriage, but for so long, so much of it, I was kind of well, you know, as you said earlier, I'm strong, I'm independent, and I really wanted...
I just read what it said, by the way, so I wasn't saying that, okay.
But you know, I'm Miss Type A. He is Type B, laid back, and very often he would go along with what I wanted to do or what I thought we should do just to keep the peace. And it's interesting. I usually, you know, I got my way a lot, and yet I wasn't always happy. Mm. I was still stressed. I was still frustrated with things. And so that was kind of all in my head as I was looking at these verses. And I really just wanted to say, okay, Lord, what does this look like today? How can I live out biblical submission in marriage?
You know, I thought it was so interesting in your book how you pitched this to your husband, and his first response was, this maybe wasn't such a good idea. So right. I'd love for you to talk about that, but then to sort of describe what this experiment looked like.
I asked him one day. I said, hey, I'm thinking about maybe taking a year and looking at what biblical submission means, living it out. What do you think about that? Should I do
see, we
it?
Think this is a trap.
Well,
what do I say?
Well, and his,
is this like, how does my hair look? Or how does this dress look? We don't know what to say.
His first reaction was no. I don't think you should do it. That's not us. We're partners. We work together. We do this life together, and it's not one person calling the shots and the other following it. And
well, but that right there, I mean, that's a great point, because I think as a man, that's exactly as I was thinking about the show today. It's like, well, yeah, because that word has so much baggage,
right.
Submission, that my wife and I are a team, and yet I like how you're describing that.
Yeah.
That would be my fear as well.
Right. And so when it took a little while for him to think about it. It was funny. We talked about it, and he was real hesitant to do it. And I said, well, will you know, think about it? He said, let me think about it, and I'll you know, call you back. He was at work. And it was funny, you know, having to wait those few hours for him to make a decision on
what he should submit or not.
That is sort of ironic.
And I wasn't sure if I liked that feeling. What was I getting myself into?
He was testing
you. I can submit if I want.
You can't tell me. I'm submitting. That's the end of it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but you know, he came back and he said, look, okay, I've looked at it. I've looked at the passages of scripture. I think it's more mutual submission, but you know, if you want to, try this, let's do it. So we did.
I just would have loved to have seen that conversation unfold. Maybe paint a picture to the opposite. Like, how would a woman know if she's not submitting? Mm. Like, what does that look like?
If she's not being submissive? Well, I think, first of all, I think it's important to clarify what submission isn't. And I think it's not being a doormat.
Okay.
It's not never speaking up and always being silent. It is not that. Not biblical submission. It's not, you know, being a robot, checking your brain at the door. And
stuffing your
because
gifts and talents and skills and
exactly,
everything that God's given you.
It's, you know, I learned from my Proverbs 31 experience that we women are such influences to our husbands. And so it's not a matter of us not talking or not participating in the conversation. I think submission is to really recognize the value and worth that God has put in your husband. Mm-hmm. You know, we think as wives, we're always thinking about our roles and, you know, what we're supposed to be doing, what we should be doing if we're doing it. And yet I think husbands think along those lines as well. They're just not as vocal about it. And so when I learned to just step back just a little bit, I realized I gave my husband some room to figure out this whole leadership thing, what that looked like in our marriage, in our family.
Which, again, can be scary, especially sounds like your husband, my temperament, I mean, very laid back and just, you know, my motto in life is whatever.
Right.
You know, I mean, I love you. I want to serve you. And Erin, my wife, we've been married almost 22 years, very similar to you. I mean, she's very strong, very independent. And so, I mean, if I'm not, you know, really taking the reins in that sense, I mean, she will do that by default.
Right.
And so that was some of our frustration early on. Mm-hmm. It was just the fact that, you know, I didn't know how to be a leader because I wasn't that type A controlling.
Yeah.
This is the way we're going to do
it. Right. And that's, I think, a frustration for a lot of couples, especially women who are strong and, you know, that more of that personality to step out and lead, and their husbands are more laid back. And yet I think God still calls those men to lead their families. And so as strong women, we have to figure out, okay, what does that look like to be able to support my husband, to be able to help him, as opposed to push him, you know, into things. And when you take just a few steps back and you give him the time to think about things, to make decisions, I think sometimes our timing as women is a lot different than our husbands. And we kind of just want to jump into a decision or you know, go with it. And yet if we just let him work through it, we can, I think, be a bigger help than just pushing him through it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he can grow into that role. Oh, absolutely. You know, if he has space and time to do it.
Yeah. You know, for me, again, this I love how the whole thing starts in Ephesians where it talks about that we are submit unto one another. So I even think that would, I'd love to talk about what does that really mean in light of what you're saying. Because I don't know if it's just for the woman in that we're told to do that as well.
Yeah. So glad you tuned in today. We're talking to Sarah Horn, author of the book, My So-Called Life as a Submissive Wife. You can chime into the conversation, too, on Facebook. Go to our page, Everyday Relationships Radio. Here's the question for you. What does it mean to you to be a submissive wife? We'll be right back. More with Sarah Horn in just a moment. Tuning in today, this is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships. I'm Susie Larson with Dr. Greg Smalley, and Sarah Horn joins us today. She's written a book titled My So-Called Life as a Submissive Wife, and it's all about her one-year experiment as a submissive wife.
So, again, Sarah, the word submission causes so much, you know, cringing. And,
Yes.
She did not just say that. It has such a negative connotation, a lot of baggage. You know, what do you say about the bad rap that the word gets?
Well, I think it comes from the abuse of it. I think men have abused it mm-hmm. with their wives. I think they have, used this word to force their wives to do anything and everything they want. And I don't think that's biblical. You know, men are called to love their wives as Christ loves the church. And guess what? Christ died for the church. So that's a pretty a tall order to fulfill for themselves.
Yeah, that level of sacrifice, you know, boy, so beyond submission.
And so, you know, I've heard stories of husbands who, you know, have said, "How can I get my wife to submit to me?" And it doesn't work that way.
You can't demand that.
You can't. And the Bible doesn't say, "Hey, men, you know, make sure your wives submit to you." It doesn't.
I wrote that in mine. So actually, mine does.
Hey, Greg.
If you want to borrow my Bible, guys, just give it me a call.
Doesn't count.
I'll send you a picture.
So, you know, so it's a voluntary act on the part of the wife to submit to her husband as she submits to the Lord. That's what Scripture says. And, you know, the way I look at that is to be selfless and to see the value and worth that is in my husband and to look for ways that I can help him and be an influence for him, but also respecting the position that God has put him in our marriage.
You know,
which
Sarah,
isn't easy.
No,
yeah.
Definitely. And I'm thinking about you, especially as a military wife. I mean, I've met military wives who say, "He goes away for 6-8 months. I have to be in charge." So the reentry is a killer because somehow you have to navigate that. So for this to be an experiment where you already are that woman who's got to run the show, how did you do that? And what challenges did you face?
Yeah, I think it really comes down to where your heart is in this. I think definitely as military wives, when your husbands are deployed and they're away, maybe they're away on training, and even women, you know, whose husbands travel a lot for business and they're not home, and so the wife is at home running everything and keeping things going. I think you can do those things without necessarily being, the one that is constantly calling the shots. In other words, like, you can carry out the things that are needed to be done around the house or the responsibilities, but you still think in terms of two as opposed to one. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So you're thinking about, okay, you know, what would my husband think about this? And so especially for military wives, we run into this. It's hard when they're gone and your husbands are focused on what they're facing when they're deployed. And so the wife, you know, does tend to kind of have to take over a lot of things. But I think, again, it comes down to that heart of recognizing, okay, my husband's not here, but he still leads our home. He is still in that position of leadership. Doesn't mean that, you know, and again, I think it depends on your term of leadership. Are we talking leadership where he's delegating or dictating everything that you do? No, I don't think so. I think he has the bigger picture, and you're supporting that, and you're walking along that journey with him.
So for a woman hearing this right now, mm-hmm. so about this 1-year experiment, you know, to submit to your husband, just exactly as the Bible is talking about mm-hmm. this, what is her greatest fear as she's hearing this?
Loss of control. Mm-hmm. Loss of control and, you know, giving up control and not having a say so, maybe even losing herself, you know, her identity. Am I just going to become kind of this in the background person where I'm, you know, living for my husband, living for my kids, and I'm, you know, who am I? And I think that's a huge, huge fear for women to lose the control. And also I think it's trust. Do you trust your husband enough to submit to him? And I think what it comes down to is, you know, trusting God first and recognizing he is in control, and then working through, you know, what that looks like to trust your husband.
So were there any aspects of the experiment, Sarah, that surprised you? And I'd especially be interested to know if you accidentally fell down on this thing just because you're instinctively a leader, where you just sort of forged ahead and went, oops.
No, I made so many mistakes and caught myself. You know, one of the first things right out the gate, within the first month of starting this, we were actually living with my in-laws. And my husband had just gotten back from a deployment. We had relocated back home. And
I'm not sure you could have added anything else.
Exactly.
You know, I like to do things easy.
Unless you were pregnant, too, at the time.
I like to do things easy. And so I was a little anxious to get out of the house and get into our own place. And my husband had just, you know, he's a reservist. So he had come off of a deployment. He was just starting a civilian job. And so I wanted to help. And so even though I had a whole lot going on, you know, already, I looked for a part-time job and found one that had come up, just sort of popped up. And I thought, you know, that would be great. I could do that. It would get us out of the house sooner. We could get into our own place. And the next time I talked to my husband, I think I was out of town for a speaking thing. And I said, oh, by the way, I've got this interview. And he went, what? Oops, I kind of forgot to mention to him that I was looking at this part-time job. Submissive wives might
not
do that.
Those details, they can get away from you. I understand.
But here's what I learned, though. You know, he was a little frustrated with me and said, I think you've got too much going on to do this, but if you want to do it, okay, go ahead. And I took the job, the part-time job, and I'll tell you, within 2 weeks, I knew I had made the worst mistake. Mm. And if I just talked to my husband first and gotten his thoughts on it, he probably would, even though, well, I probably would have still been a little resistant to him saying, no, you don't need to do it. But man, if I had listened to him, I would have saved myself a whole lot of grief.
So use that example. Yeah. So again, you're saying this 1-year experiment on submission. So you wanted to help out and bring income into the family.
Yeah.
Like what would it have looked like then? To kind of run through that biblical submission in this example, what would you have done differently?
Well, if I'd done it differently, I would have gone to him first and said, hey, what do you think about this?
So you would have included him.
Yeah, I included him and said, do you think I should do this? He probably would have said, I think you got a whole lot more on your plate already. I was taking graduate classes online. I mean, I was doing a lot. I know.
We need to bring her back for time management.
Amen. Yeah.
So let's say that he would have said, you know, instantly, no, I don't want you to do that. Is that it? Is that the end of the discussion? Okay. He says no. So then I'm done. Or is there a way in which, again, that your role as a wife and your the way that you see things and the intuition and the gifts and all that would have also allowed you to continue that conversation?
Well, I think it depends on what it is. I mean, we were talking about a part-time job. There's other bigger decisions, I think, that we wrestle with as well. And I think it depends on that circumstance. But sharing your heart, sharing your thoughts, but then ultimately saying, okay, the decision lies with my husband, and so does the responsibility.
And again, I love where you're going. I can just you feel. I mean, I'm not a woman, but I just feel these women going, oh no, turning this off. But I just love what God's really taught you, and that's why I'm excited just to keep hearing you really unpack this.
This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships. I'm Susie Larson with Dr. Greg Smalley. We're talking about the issue of being a submissive wife. As Greg said, that gets the hackles raised, but we really want to have a really objective conversation that you leave feeling very encouraged. Sarah Horn is with us, and she's written a book about that titled My So-Called Life as a Submissive Wife. More with Sarah Horn after the break. We'll be right back. Thanks for tuning in to Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships. I'm Susie Larson with Dr. Greg Smalley. We're talking about the whole issue of submission in marriage, and it is a polarizing topic, and we're so glad to have Sarah Horn in studio with us today to talk about her book, My So-Called Life as a Submissive Wife.
You know, Sarah, as we were sort of talking about during the break, it's interesting as we're having this discussion. I mean, I feel this, just
the tension.
Because on one hand, you know, I definitely would never tell my wife, you need to submit. So, I mean.
Right, you shouldn't.
But on the other,
for so many reasons.
Trust me, I'm very aware of that. But on the other hand, just something about it, it just makes me feel so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I'm not 100% sure even why.
Yeah.
As you've talked to couples about this.
Right.
What are some things that you encourage the man to really to be aware of, or even how to maybe work through his, you know, the way that he feels uncomfortable?
Well, you know, I think we feel uncomfortable because this just goes against our culture today. There, you know, when we think of the word submission, I think this whole shades of gray craze the last few years have really, you know, it's really twisted our idea of what biblical submission is, this whole, you know, domination and somebody in control of someone else.
Yeah,
and that's
the way it feels.
Yes, but that's not what God intends. And you have to look into the scripture. You have to look at, you know, Ephesians 5 and some of the other places within the Bible, Colossians 3 and 1 Peter, I think, 3, to look at those. And again, it comes down to part of the frustration, I think, is the fact that this involves two people.
Yeah.
And so often women will say, well,
who are one?
Exactly. Bringing the individuals together. And so often wives will say, well, I will submit to my husband when he starts loving me the way I need to be loved. And but it's not conditional. Mm-hmm. This isn't a conditional thing. And so, you know, to speak to the men on this, I would just say, just love your wives and treat them the way, you know, Christ loves the church. And don't demand things, but show how much she is of a value to you and how much you love her. And I'll tell you, when men do that to their wives, I mean, it makes an enormous difference to feel that love. And the same with women, you know, it's that whole love and respect thing. When we show respect to our husbands, it makes our husbands feel loved.
So. You know, I'm glad you're saying it because within my marriage, within my family, I know that God has called me to be a leader. I know that that's my role.
Right.
And I'm not shrinking from that. And I agree with it.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I usually tell guys, you know, when you look at that whole Ephesians 5:22 through 33, which you find all this conversation, that that Paul's using 216 words. I counted it one time. 62 words are to the wife. 154 to the husband.
Yeah.
So in other words, 71% of Paul's teaching is to the husband. Therefore, that my role then as the leader of our home, that's a very, very, very serious thing.
It is.
And I need to understand how to do that. And you're right. It starts with really learning how to serve, sacrifice, love her as Christ loves. So I know that's a responsibility that I need to take very serious.
Yeah.
You know, as you're talking, Sarah, I was reminded of a godly woman. And I used to call these group of women in their 60s the golden girls in my life because they were just godly women. But she particularly did not have her husband was not a believer, but she knew this concept, and we would watch her honor him and love him. And she said, I came to learn early on in marriage that even though he's not a believer, God put him in place as a protector for me. So she would bring things to him about commitments at church. And when she started to trust him, she realized when he didn't have a good feeling about it, it was because it was going to burn her out. And so when she gave him room to have a say, he really did honor her in such a way that it was protection. But he also, when he finally came to Christ in his 60s, I'm telling you what, his growth as a Christian accelerated by leaps and bounds, because he was already functioning as a leader. I mean, it was like a phenomenon that I was watching going, this woman knows a secret that so many women don't. She just honored him so well, you would have thought they were in this equally yoked marriage. And so there's something supernatural about it.
Yeah, and it sounds like, you know, she gave him the room to be a leader. And I think so many of us wives, we want our husbands to lead our homes. And yet so many of us have a particular way we want them to lead our homes. And that's not really leadership. Mm-hmm. We need to give him the room to lead as God would have him lead.
And then as a husband, then that is absolutely my responsibility to make sure that one, I'm submitting to God. So I don't get out of the whole submission thing. When I have a boss I have to submit to the law. I got a speeding ticket the other day. See,
not surprised, Greg.
Yes. So see, I'm still learning how to submit, but at the same time, really knowing how to submit to God is such a big part of that role.
We're all works in progress, and so there's some grace in this, but it's such a great, great conversation. We'll be right back to talk about some of the big takeaway lessons that our guest learned during her one-year experiment with wifely submission. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships, and we will be right back. Tuning in today, this is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson, and we're talking with author Sarah Horn about her one-year experiment in wifely submission.
So what were some of the big takeaways? Yeah. What were some of the things that you learned?
Well, my biggest surprise, my biggest thing that I realized as I went through this year, and you know, I made a lot of mistakes, and I write about them. They're in the book, but my biggest surprise was that as I stepped back just a little bit, not feeling like a doormat, not feeling like my rights were being encroached on or anything like that, but just being more intentional in giving my husband the room to lead, I saw him step up as a leader in ways that he hadn't before, leading our family in a family devotional, doing more with our son, and not just saying, do what your mother says, but actually saying, hey, you know, go, we're going to go into the kitchen. I'm going to show you how to unload the dishwasher here. So just leading his son. And, so that was a really big surprise for me. I thought I would change and really, I think my husband changed even more. For me, I learned what it looked like to be biblically submissive, and with a husband who is very laid back, I needed to step back and ask more questions than, you know, just go ahead and assert myself and say, hey, we need to do this, but ask him, what do you think about this? And what would this look like if we did it this way? And really being more of a helper and a encourager, learning to edit my words a little bit. So often, you know, you have just the thing you want to say, which might not necessarily be a good thing at the time. And so,
I know nothing about that. What is she talking about?
And so learning to edit my words you know, unless is it going to build him up or is it going to tear him down? And I saw changes in both myself and my husband, and it was amazing. You know, we're not perfect and we're not there yet, I think, but each day we first and foremost have to submit ourselves to God and say, Lord, this is, you know, our lives are yours, and you know, just use us to be a blessing to each other as well as our family and, you know, the folks around us.
You know, could you tell a big difference in terms of, you know, the connection, the depth of intimacy, you know, how did that change just your relationship with him?
I'll tell you, my husband, shortly after we completed this experiment, he got ready to go on his third deployment. Mm. So he's actually deployed right now, third time in 6 years.
Oh, boy.
But we're expecting him home soon, so I'm excited about that. But
thank you for your service.
Thank you. But, you know, a couple months before he left, I can't even explain what he was doing or how, you know, if there was anything specific, but I told him, I said, I have felt the most loved by you, in these days than I ever have in our 16 years of marriage. And I really believe that it is partly due to us walking through this year of looking at what God calls us to do as a couple, as a husband, and as a wife.
Well, you know what? I guess since he did create marriage and it was his design, and he has
a lot
to say
about
it, that when we kind of operate within that design, that it really does change things. What would you say for someone who is really feeling inspired by this? I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take the same challenge. What are maybe some of the big obstacles, you know, as you look back going, oh, you know what, here's I can save you some of the hassle or the headache?
I think one of the biggest obstacles is if your husband doesn't want to lead. I hear that from a lot of wives. You know, my husband doesn't want to lead, so somebody's got to lead. And I would say to that woman that, you know, baby steps. You aren't going to wake up tomorrow morning and say, hey, I'm going to be submissive and everything go perfectly. I think this is a process of the heart. I think it is God molding us and teaching us and showing us what we need to do. But it's baby steps. And you can't change your husband, but you can work on yourself and what God has called you to do. And so by you know, working on yourself as a wife and saying, Lord, how can I be the best wife that you've called me to be? You know, I believe that you can help motivate and encourage and even challenge your husband in a good way. There was some positive pressure there when my husband knew that I was looking to him to lead and I was stepping back. You know, it gave him some positive pressure to say, hey, I got to bring it. I got to do this. And knowing that I was encouraging him as opposed to saying, you're not doing this right. Mm. You're not doing it the way I think you should do it. Helped enormously, I think, for that.
You know, Jesus talks about that things are proven ripe by their fruit. And I love how you said baby steps, because that is how I think all growth, really sustainable growth happens. Yeah. And so I would imagine that as you walk this out and you walk with the Lord and walk with each other, there's just a sense of peace about the next right step versus putting this big mantle on yourself of having to be all things all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is that how you found it? Because I feel like as you do that, you're changed, he's changed, the marriage is strengthened, but it's just being led by the Holy Spirit. I don't think it has to be rocket science.
Yeah, it's not about how much you can do. It's about really just letting some things go and letting the Lord work in your life as a wife. And how do you, you know, motivate and encourage your husband? And so when you do that, you know, God just, I mean, he's amazing, and he will work in your life and he will work in your marriage, but you have to allow it to happen on his time and not, you know, maybe
you have to have
own.
An open heart.
Yes.
You have to be receptive to really being led in it. And that's one of the things I love about your story is that you really felt that God was calling you to do this and really challenging you to do this.
And I think you have to be at that point. You know, I don't think every wife is going to wake up tomorrow and say, hey, I'm going to be submissive. I think you really have to pray about it. You have to say, Lord, you know, soften my heart if that's something that I'm really desiring to do. And really having a moldable heart. So just being available. We can't do this on our own, but I think that's the point. We're supposed to submit to God and let him work through us.
You know, something that you said that reminded me when my father and I wrote two books, one called Winning Back Your Husband, Winning Back Your Wife. And we interviewed hundreds of couples who would say, yeah, we went through that process.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, the one thing that they all said. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there are a lot of good ways to win each other back. But I'm telling you, the one that stood out was this idea that at some point I had to quit trying to change him. To change her, and I really had to let God work on me, and not knowing what the outcome was going to be, just knowing that was the victory. So it's not about how do we have a better marriage, it's how do I become a better spouse. And
Absolutely.
That's really what you're saying.
Such great conversation. Well, when we come back, we'll hear some final thoughts on the sometimes prickly issue of wifely submission. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships. More with Sarah Horn in just a moment. You're tuned in to Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson, and we've been talking with Sarah Horn, who did a year-long experiment in wifely submission, and she's been sharing that journey with us today.
So, Sarah, as we wrap this up, a wife is really hearing this and inspired. I want to do that. I want to do really what the Bible is saying, because we can't ignore that.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It does say that.
Yeah, it
talks
does.
About
it's
what
in
you're
there.
Talking about in terms of submission, but it's such a loaded word.
Yeah.
Again, how would you encourage them? What are some of the first steps that they can do to really have the same kind of journey?
Yeah, you know, I think first and foremost, it starts with your own relationship with God and where you are in that journey. And I think sometimes we struggle with this idea of submission because we struggle with the whole obedience thought with God and obeying Him and following what He's called us to do. And you know, for the wife that is struggling with this, especially with maybe her husband isn't the kind and loving husband that she would like him to be. Maybe he's, you know, a little cranky sometimes. And
we never get cranky.
And, you know, and she would say he's selfish and he focuses on what he wants to do as opposed to what's best for her or for the family.
Unheard of.
lies.
Lies.
But, you know, us wives do that too sometimes, I have to say. So I would just say that we cannot change our husbands, but we can work on ourselves. And we start with our relationship with the Lord, and then we look at ways that we can be kind to our husbands. How often are we kind to our husbands? And we're kinder to strangers than we are to the one that we've committed our life to. But looking for ways to be kind and to encourage him, to motivate, not manipulate him as you know, our husband, the value and the worth that he has. But, to just also, you know, recognize that God has brought the two of you together for a purpose. There's a reason for you to be together, and it is to, I think, move forward seeking Him first, but then also working in that beautiful relationship that God calls marriage between a man and a wife, and seeing what blessings flow out of that. But first of all, not giving up, and working to show love as much as you can with your husband.
And the results are never guaranteed. This isn't, hey, if you do this, then he is going to do this.
Not at all. I mean, that's the tension with this, is that it involves two people, and you can't change or force the other person to do as you wish. But you can change yourself, and that's what we've got to do. We've got to pursue God with all our heart and let Him take it from there.
I love it. I love just the message. And by the way, if you're not saying to submit to someone who's being abusive.
No,
and that's
not
why
at all.
Give us a call at Focus on the Family, 800-A-FAMILY. If you're in that position, we can definitely help.
And Sarah, I so appreciate the tone of your book. You know, you really are a person to be speaking on this topic. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. Great to be with you.
Don't forget to check out her book, My So-Called Life as a Submissive Wife. It's available at the store on FocusOnTheFamily.com. I want to remind you to send us an email if you've got a question for a future show. That email address is EverydayRelationships@FocusOnTheFamily.com. Or you can use the phone line during non-broadcast hours, 855-273-5283. We'll meet you back here next time as we answer your emails.